Thanks for joining the Lieutenant Governor and me. We wanted to kind of have a year-end roundtable and open it up. But before we get started, I just want to say, you know, it's been a wild year here in Lansing. But I got to tell you, I am inspired and grateful for the opportunity to be the governor of the state. Inspired every day by the people that I meet, the things that are happening in our borders. We've had some great things we've accomplished this year, from reorganizing government to focusing on joining Michigan with the U.S. Climate Alliance to creating LEO to auto no fault and having a real foundation allowance that is reflective of the need in the state in terms of making sure that we're building equity into it. We've obviously had our tussle with the budget, but you know, I think in year one that's sort of to be expected, and now I'm going to be signing the supplemental, I think, today? Friday? So put a bow on that and be done with the budget once and for all, and looking forward to 2020. So happy to open it up and focus on the things that you're interested in covering. I don't know, Garland, did you want to add anything?
I think you covered it very well. It's been a good year. We both have seen just how great the opportunities are. We wanted to tackle big challenges. We introduced bold proposals to tackle big challenges, both in terms of legislative agenda and executive agenda that we've taken action on a lot, especially in the second half of the year. I think you're going to see more of that going forward.
Governor, you've got a lot of money that you still have unallocated in the budget, like the roads. In the next round of discussions, what is the top priority? What do you really want to see out of the next supplemental?
So we really don't have a lot of money that's unallocated. You know, the legislature sent me budgets that were not balanced. And so when people, I think, just do the rudimentary math, you would think that there would be a lot left over. There's not. The fact of the matter is the general fund is going to be very tight going into 2020, that this supplemental spends, you know, the vast majority of what general fund dollars we had that hadn't been agreed upon or survived the vetoes and the transfers. And so as we looked at things like Pure Michigan, there are restricted fund dollars that could be available if the legislature came back and wanted to get serious about doing a supplemental on that front. But with regard to the general fund, there's not.
What about the roads? $375 million for the roads they set aside.
Those were dollars that were taken out of operations budgets of three important departments. That was what this supplemental is fixing.
Governor, you started out the year speaking about two crises, schools, roads. Can you look at after year one and say that you were really able to move the ball much on either of those?
I can look at after year one and say I did what I said I was going to do. I introduced a budget that set the priorities right, that took funding our road crisis out of the general fund so that we could actually put dollars back into education, back toward bringing down the cost of higher education, helping people navigate and get the skills they need to get into good paying jobs, and cleaning up water. These were the fundamentals I ran on. It was reflected in the budget that I introduced. It was not easy to lead with a budget like that, and I knew it would be challenging with the legislature. But I did what I said I was going to do. Had the legislature followed suit or worked with me on those things, we could be avoiding the worst pothole season in recent memory, which is what we're gearing up for this spring, because the legislature did never get serious about an alternative or actually solving the problem. So as we look to kind of the close of 2019, I can say I am pleased about the equity that was built into the foundation allowance. We're taking a big step forward there. Not as big as I would have liked to, but certainly it's going to make a difference by acknowledging kids in higher poverty areas with special needs, and kids with special needs that require additional wraparound services. We're going to do a better job meeting those needs. We have more literacy coaches, which will help us improve our outcomes for our children. But in terms of a longer-term infrastructure solution, we did not get something done, and I think it's really a shame that the legislature never got serious about solving the road problem, because they all know this is the number one issue. And when the spring comes again, everyone's going to try to point fingers elsewhere. But I had a plan to fix it, and they never showed real responsibility and responded with their own.
And what's next on that front?
Well, you'll have to wait and see, Rick. I think that There are a lot of potential options. I know that the legislature's introduced a number of different possibilities of ways of going about doing that in terms of bills that are out there. Some have suggested various forms of doing it, but my team and I are very seriously going forward in terms of determining exactly what it is that I will be promoting next year as we start the next round of budgets.
Considering the legislative reaction to the 45-cent plan, is that dead? Are you not going to go with that next year?
So, the legislature showed a complete lack of courage when it came to actually solving the problem. Lacked courage to even put an alternative plan on the table. And so to do the same thing in year two, I think would probably not be wise, but I'm not in a position to tell you more about where we're going to be headed. You're going to have to wait and see.
What about the graduated income tax? Is that something that you're still going to push for?
There's a lot of conversation in town around that. I know that there are a lot of stakeholders that are interested in going to the ballot with something of that nature. I know that a lot of legislators on the Democratic side have been talking about that, and that's something that I've supported in many different times in my political career, and I suppose that could be a solution.
You're not adverse to going to the ballot, are you? I mean, you got burned last time the legislature went to the ballot on a roads deal and the public shot it down. Does that make you a little gun-shy to try it again?
Well, it all depends on what it is, what it looks like, and how it's talked about, where it's dedicated. You know, at one point there were discussions by Republicans, I think, about a 1 cent sales tax. I don't know how serious they are. But the legislature and the governor can't do that. It ultimately goes to the people, and the people have to be confident that dollars are going where they're supposed to go, that they're going to actually fix a problem. And I have not seen any seriousness around a solution that I would be eager to support at this point.
Realistically, though, you're not going to be able to get the revenues you need, even in a best case where the legislature agrees to a substantial tax. Even if they agreed to a 20-cent gas tax increase, it wouldn't give you the revenues you need. Is it going to have to involve some sort of like large-scale ballot proposal or some other mechanism where you don't need legislative approval?
We'll see, Zach. You're very pessimistic, though, I have to tell you. Probably, with good reason, but I think, it's too early to talk about what our next step is, I think.
Well, speaking of pessimism, next year's election year.
Yeah.
Are you concerned that the likelihood of government shutdown goes up as tensions go up?
I am concerned. I am concerned about a lot of things. You know, this is a historic day in our country, right? There are articles of impeachment that I think are going to be voted on. At the same point, the subject of them is going to be right here in our state. The whole world's going to be looking at Michigan, and I have been fighting lots of rhetoric around this town that would drag us into being as toxic as what we know Washington to be. I am determined not to return fire. I am determined to ensure that we continue to seek common ground wherever we can. It's not easy some days, but the fact of the matter is the people of our state are less interested about partisan, ideology and more interested in actual solutions that are going to improve their lives.
So you think that there's going to be an election year that's going to be hard to rise above?
No, I just know that as the election rhetoric heats up, both in the House of Representatives, who all is on the ballot, and Congress and the presidential election, that it's going to be very important that leaders with platforms try to stay focused on the things that we can get done in this environment.
When you look back on...
Sounds like what?
It sounds a little like a yes.
Yes.
Would you do anything differently if you were to do this first year of divided government again?
One of the things I think was really important that we did was have quadrant meetings. They weren't always, substantive. They weren't always fun. But I think that having an open dialogue is really important. I think that the auto no-fault success that we had early on in the year showed that we are capable of doing good things and doing them together. When people see the savings that they're going to have this next year and realize they've got some choice and some protections under the law with regard to discriminatory practices, that people are really going to see that that was a good thing that we were able to get done. working with a legislature that was determined to take the summer off and push us up against a budget deadline. I think I'm not quite sure how I could have changed that their choice to do that. But I do think that going forward, this bill that requires budgets done by July 1st will be an improvement. And so I am glad for that.
So that's a no.
Well, I'm not saying I'm not perfect. I certainly have learned a lot in this process. I think that the way that we expend my time, the way that I am engaged with people across our state and business across our state is something that's important, and becoming, I think, a better manager of that time and putting our priorities where they really need to be, I think, is something that we'll hone and improve upon.
Governor, yeah. Do you still expect that $2 to $2.5 billion is what's needed to solve the roads problem, or is that number going to be higher?
Well, unfortunately, Dave, that number climbs. Every day that goes by that we don't actually solve the problem, it gets more expensive. Every study shows that. Whether you think it's $2 billion currently or $2.5 billion, the studies are pretty close in terms of what the figure is today. We're shutting down a bridge every other week in Michigan right now. There's not been a long-term alternative that's been put on the table by the legislature, and I think it's a complete failure on their part in terms of addressing the most important issue that voters care about right now in Michigan.
So does that mean your ask for the legislature is going to go up to 2.6 or 2.7? Are you going to tell them, hey, look, now you got to raise 2.7?
Well, you know what, Cal? This isn't my ask. This is about the state's needs. This is a crisis that we are confronting that is diverting resources from other things, like the education of our children, or the ability for communities to upgrade their infrastructure when it comes to providing water, or the ability to keep the cost of college attainable for young people and for people who are trying to upskill. It's not my number. It's not my ask. It is what the needs are of this state. I was elected to solve problems. We have an infrastructure crisis that is undeniable. And when pothole season hits in 3.5 months from now, people are going to be furious. I told the legislature I wouldn't want to be the one running next year on a dirt road agenda, which is essentially what I think some of them are prepared to do. And I think it's dangerous. It hurts our ability to grow our economy and to lure investment into Michigan. And it undermines this incredible mobility sector that we currently have the pole position on. When I go to, Silicon Valley and I talk to businesses that do have a presence or are thinking about having a presence in Michigan, this is an issue, and we have to solve it for the safety of our people and for the health of our economy.
So the plan you're tracking currently will be for more than $2.5 billion?
What I said about the plan that we're considering and we're debating is that it will be a substantial step forward, but I have not said anything beyond that.
Do you have a number?
Not currently that I'm prepared to speak with you about, Rick. Susan?
Do you support impeachment?
I've watched with great interest Alyssa Slotkin, my congresswoman, how she navigated, how she did her due diligence, and how she came to her decision, and frankly, how she engaged with the public about all of those pieces. And I have a great deal of admiration for her. And if I were in her position and was having to make that choice, I too would make the vote that she is going to be making. So, yes.
What do you think the government's role is in providing health care?
I think, gosh, that's a big open-ended question,
I know
Kyle.
I know it is.
I think that we have an important role to make sure that health care is available and accessible and that it is quality health care. Now, we've expanded access to it in terms of the Healthy Michigan Plan. That's been an incredibly important thing, not just for individuals that I've had the opportunity to meet and hear from how healthcare, some people have seen a doctor for the first time because of Healthy Michigan. It's incredible to hear these personal stories. I don't know if you've talked to anyone, but I've heard them over and over again as I get across the state. And so this work requirement debate that we're having here, you know, these are being challenged in courts. There are other states that are even more, you know, conservative in terms of their legislatures than Michigan's is right now. And they're backing off on the work requirement because they don't want to invest the money taking away health care for something that they think they're probably not going to be successful on. That's why I asked our legislature to pause. They wouldn't agree to it, and we're going to expend a lot of money. Some people are going to lose health care, and ultimately the whole thing might get thrown out. So I think the government's role is to ensure that there is access to affordable, quality health care and to fight efforts to take that away.
That doesn't mean Medicare for all, does it?
Listen, you know, you couldn't get me to say that when I was running, Kyle. I'm not going to say
well,
it now.
Well, I don't know if your position's evolved. I don't know. No, that's why I asked the question.
I do think that, you know, ultimately on the federal level, that they have got to come up with a system where everyone can get some access to coverage. And, you know, on the campaign, certainly there were people that would say that a state could do that. I believe it's got to happen at the federal level. That's what I've always said.
Governor, you've got two, as you know, very sizable cases that have been looming out there for years, the Unemployment Insurance Agency case, the many, many Flint water cases. Looking at the activity that's happened in the court so far this year, it doesn't look much different than when Governor Snyder and Attorney General Schuette were in office. It's not like there's been some sort of settlement conference or anything of that nature. The plaintiffs in the UIA case were very upset when a spokesperson of yours said last week after the Court of Appeals decision that it was early in the case when asked if a settlement was appropriate. Where are you at on those? I mean, I understand pending litigation, all that, but these are huge financial liabilities looming, and there's a lot of plaintiffs who want answers.
So, Zach, you know, I appreciate the question, and I'm very mindful of the fact that the thing that I struggle with the most is that it's now my name on as the defendant on all these cases that were brought against the Snyder administration. I have a duty to try to get the best result that I can for the state, but also I personally would like to see plaintiffs get fairness. And so beyond that, I don't know that I can or should weigh in other than to say that there are a lot of lawsuits against the Snyder administration that are still pending, and that we are trying to navigate, acknowledging both of those important goals that I have to have as governor.
Do you have any?
Does anyone have a question for the lieutenant governor?
He can jump in on this question if you'd like. Do you all have any regrets about the state's handling of these marijuana vape cartridges that were? You know, there was a recall yesterday. You took a very hard line on tobacco vape products. Health officials have linked this lung injury outbreak to these marijuana vape cartridges. Do you have any regrets on the handling of that issue?
No, I don't. We have a public health crisis, and Dr. Khaldun was convinced that because of all the evidence and the outcomes for kids and the insidious targeting of our children to create a generation of addicts who are consuming unknown chemicals and showing up in hospitals with things like popcorn lung, that it was important that we take this action. This is an industry that is, you know, known to target children, and we know this with this flavored vape juice. It's not really about helping adults get off of smoking. It's about creating a generation of addicts in our high schools and middle schools. And it is a huge problem. And so to make Michigan the leader in terms of taking this on, I'm pleased that we did that. But obviously, we're in court, and we are, I think the thing that galls me the most about the trial court decision is that it implies that business interest is more important than the health of children. And in the wake of the Flint water crisis, I think it's an incredibly dangerous precedent, and that's why we're appealing.
And specifically on the vitamin E acetate stuff with the marijuana vape products, I mean, a lot of the the evidence that continues to mount has been pretty clear that this has been linked to these lung diseases. So we took that emergency action here to say that we need to guarantee that these products will be tested before they get into the hands of any Michigan consumers. And I don't think that's something we should apologize for, because one of our main responsibilities is to protect the public safety and the public health of people in the state of Michigan.
Did it take too long to do that, though, to institute those rules? I mean, this was multiple months after other states took action on this.
Well, I think we took a leadership role in terms of working on the flavor plate ban and stepping up on vitamin E acetate, and you've seen other states really follow suit on that. And so I think that as we understood what the risks were, as our professionals like Dr. Khaldun made the determination, that we took swift action in response to those recommendations.
You've talked a lot about the needs for our roads, $2.2 billion or more. How much realistically more do we need to be spending on public ed, preschool, K-12, higher education?
A lot. You know, the budget that I introduced put about $500 million annually back into the education of our kids. It would have been singularly the biggest investment in education of Michigan kids in a generation of children here in Michigan. It would have been given us the ability to wrap children in higher poverty districts with additional supports that they need to really level the playing field. Had real equity built in. We have historically underfunded, and we've permitted all of these withdrawals on the school aid fund to balance other parts of the budget. And I'm determined to make sure that we send the school aid fund dollars to our schools. And it is incredibly difficult, if not impossible, to do so long as roads is continuing to eat up the general fund budget, so long as we're permitting all of these other raids on the school aid fund. So I'm determined to continue to make greater investments in education, but I would have liked to have taken that huge step this year with the budget that I've introduced.
Do you expect next year to introduce about as much, $500 million?
Well, we're writing next year's budget as we speak. Last year's budget was based on getting that road plan done, and so I think that it's a broader question of all the different priorities of how we do this budget, but I do anticipate making a greater investment in education.
The legislative leaders have signaled support for the abortion initiatives that are circulating. I know you don't necessarily have a formal role in that process as far as a signature, but do you plan to exert any influence or try to stop those?
Well, I clearly will be watching it very closely. I anticipate that their methods and their signatures would be challenged, and I will actively campaign against adoption of anything that they might get onto the ballot. And as you pointed out, I don't have an official role because they never sent me the bills. Otherwise, I would have vetoed them by now.
Governor, good question. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you.